Allow Children's Church at this time to be dismissed. Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of Luke, to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Very familiar passage of Scripture, you know it well. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2. For those of you that are children of God, that have been saved by the grace of God, have you stopped to realize and think of recently the gift you have in Jesus Christ because you're a child of God? You know, you hear the term gift about this time of the year, and you know, if I said gift, what comes to your mind? If I told you that there's just 20 more days till Christmas, what goes through your mind? Some of you are in a panic. Some of you are thinking, I don't have all my shopping done. I need to do some more shopping. And some of you are saying, I need some more money to do some more shopping with. And irregardless, it comes so fast and goes by so fast. But when you hear the word gift, what goes through your mind? Now, for children, it may be wonderment and excitement, and for adults as well. But maybe for some adults, it's the realization that there's not really much to purchase gifts with. And this time of the year finds a lot of individuals really struggling, because they want to give their children a good Christmas, but financially they just can't. And our society is so structured itself in such a way that, you know, money has to be the issue in so many things. But when it comes to the ultimate gift of all gifts, there is no greater gift that you and I could ever know and can experience than the gift of Jesus Christ. But we say it so much that sometimes we even miss out on what it really means to be and have and to experience the gift of Jesus. Well, if you turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, begin reading verses 1 through 14. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, I want to read that verse one more time. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. When you and I read the Christmas story, you've read it many, many times, and if time stands and you're alive, you'll read it many, many more times. But I want to ask you this question this morning, and I want you to really soul search this morning. Do you know what you have if you're a Christian in the gift of Jesus? Someone asks you, are you a Christian? Many of you would say, well, yes, I am. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And then if they ask you this question, could you tell me, sir, ma'am, what do you have because of Jesus? Really and truthfully, probably a lot of individuals would really struggle past that point, because they'd say, well, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm not going to die and go to hell. Those two things we know. But you see, the truth about it is there's so many things that you have been given if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian and know Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this. Also, if you're here this morning and you're without Jesus, the greatest gift you can ever receive is the gift of Jesus Christ in your life. And you'll understand this morning at the end of this message why Listen, it is so important and essential for you to have a relationship with Jesus. Sadly, so many believers, what they know about salvation is, I'm going to heaven when I die, I'm not going to go to hell, and pretty much that's about it. Sad to say, but so very realistic and so very true. If someone really asks you, would you have a hard time saying to them what you have in Jesus Christ? Well, you know, I go to church and, I know a few Bible verses, and yet the wonder of it all is this. And Paul said it in different locations. He said, the greatest mystery in the universe, of all the mysteries that there are in the galaxies, the one greatest mystery in all the universe of God is this. God, in His infinite power, has the ability to place Jesus Christ inside your life. Though we're human, though we're frail, and though, you know, we're very limited. Well, what does it mean to have the gift of Jesus? If you'll follow along in your outline, let's just look this morning. What is involved? What does it really mean when we have the gift of Jesus? Well, first and foremost, the Bible makes it very clear that when you have the gift of Jesus Christ, we have the gift of a divine person living on the inside of us, not only for now, but for all of eternity. The Bible says, and I want you to look very carefully in your outline, Colossians 1:27. Paul is talking to the precious saints at Colossae, and he's talking to them about the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the Scripture. Listen to what he says. To whom God, who made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I want you to say this if you're a child of God. Christ Jesus lives in me. Say that with me. Christ Jesus lives in me. Now, listen to me very carefully. Do you realize when you say that Jesus Christ is not just living in heaven, but the Bible says, Scripture says, that you have the living Christ living on the inside of you. Well, what in the world does it really mean when you and I have Christ living on the inside of us? Well, Paul made it very clear. We have a divine person living on the inside of us. Whoever Christ is, whatever Christ could do, whatever was available to Christ, the Bible says you and I have a divine person living on the inside of us. Well, what's so significant about that? Well, I'll tell you what's so significant about that. Think about all the people this year that they're going to be by themselves. Maybe they've had a spouse that has died. Maybe they find themselves this Christmas all alone, and they don't have anybody to come and visit them. Maybe it's a woman who lost her husband and she's childless. She don't really have anybody to come and see her, visit her. But the Bible makes it very clear that you, if you're a child of God, you can never be alone. It is completely impossible before the God of the universe for you to ever be alone. You cannot be alone. It's easier to breathe without lungs than for you to be alone. Because the Bible says the mystery of Scripture is this. God the Father, in the very person of Jesus Christ, lives inside of you. You wake up at 2:00 in the morning, Christ lives in you. You're all alone and you don't know what to do, Christ lives in you. 24/7, 365. Paul says it's the mystery. Now, somebody's going to ask the question, how in the world can Jesus live in this human body? Well, Paul said it's a mystery. Whenever he was talking to these precious saints, he said, I want to tell you, listen, it's a mystery. It's a mystery among the Gentiles. Here I am, I'm a flawed human being, you're a flawed human being, but the Bible says when I invited Jesus Christ to come into my life and He saved me, listen, He didn't just save my soul. The Bible says that He is in me 24/7, 365, not only till the day I die, but He is there for all of eternity. Listen, that's why you and I can face every aspect of life and we don't have to face life in despair. Christians don't face life alone. No Christian can ever face life alone. You will never face life alone. It is an impossibility. I think about Paul, you know, he was, you know, in prison on many occasions and he was chained to Roman guards and he was in isolation a great deal of time and probably being by himself. And I think, I just wonder some of the things that went through his mind. And And yet he knew that every single moment of his life, there was the living Christ living on the inside of him. Listen, friend, that's not just make-believe. That's the absolute truth of the Word of God. Amen? It makes a world of difference when you're walking through life. And you see, when Jesus came into this world, the Bible says he was born in a stable. And the Bible says that, you know, he grew up as a little boy and he reached the age of maturity and he died on the cross. And we know that. But oftentimes we don't stop and realize that when we're a child of God, the gift of Jesus Christ is this. Inside you, if you're a born-again believer, is the person of Jesus Christ in every situation you find yourself in life. So what does that mean? Whatever's impossible for you, you know, with Jesus is impossible for you. That's why a lot of times we don't realize it, and that's why we say, well, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that. Listen, what is impossible for Jesus to do? Nothing. You know, you say, well, boy, that sounds good. That's the truth. Listen to what Paul says. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Paul, what are you saying? You're an arrogant person, or you know something. Listen, he knew something. He knew something, and that something was this. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, God in the flesh, lives in me. The Son of the living God lives inside this person. Because I'm a preacher? No. Because I invited him into my life when I was just a child. You're a born-again believer? He lives on the inside of you. And there is nothing you cannot weather. There is no storm in life you cannot handle. Why? Because you're strong and you've taken some courses in school about psychology and how to handle tough times? No. Because the living Christ lives in you. Listen, let me tell you something. When you let that statement get in your mind and in your heart, it will change every aspect of your life. Think about this. You're in a terrible situation on the job. You're in a very crisis situation. It's going to take all of your education and schooling and all that to know how to handle it. And all of a sudden, you just realize, Jesus lives inside of me. What is impossible with Jesus? Nothing. He can give you his wisdom, his guidance, his direction, his counsel in a split second. You say, well, that'd be wonderful. But here's the problem. Most of the time, we don't depend on him. And that's why we get ourselves in all sorts of struggles and difficulties. And you think about this. So many believers live in frustration and fear and anxiety and stress. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus know from an early age that he was going to die? Sure he did. What if I told you out in the foyer, there's pieces of paper, and by chance, you know, I just happen to know when some of you are going to die, and I'm going to give it to you after service. Would you want it? No. Think about this a minute. If you knew the day, the hour, the time, the week, the month, the year you was going to die, and you never lived in anxiety and frustration. Now listen carefully. Jesus knew the day, the month, the year, the time, the week, the absolute hour he was going to die. Why wasn't he fretting or frustrated? Because there was a peace in his life because he knew who he was. He was God in the flesh, but he laid all that aside, depended completely upon the Father. Listen, the Bible says Christ lives in you. You say, now, I just don't know if I believe that. Listen, it's not an issue of belief. If you're a child of God, Christ does live on the inside of you. Let me just give you an example. How many of you have ever seen your heart? Every one of us have a heart. You know, unless we're sort of like that fellow who was trying to, he was having a debate with a Quaker. And he said, Mr. Quaker, you really believe in God? He said, yes, sir, I do. Have you ever seen God? He said, no, sir. Have you ever felt God? No, sir. Have you ever smelt God? No, sir. He said, how do you know there is a God? The Quaker simply replied, dear young man, may I ask you a question? Do you know you have a brain? He said, yes, I've got a brain. He said, have you ever seen your brain? He said, no, sir. Have you ever felt your brain? No, sir. He said, have you ever smelt your brain? He said, dear young man, how do you know then you have a brain? Listen to me very carefully. The Bible makes it very clear, by faith. Listen, you and I are saved by grace and by faith. And the Bible says Christ in you. Why can you go through life, facing hardship? Because Christ Jesus lives on the inside of you. If you say, well, I just don't know if that's true about my life, then friend, you're an unbeliever and you're lost and you don't know what it is to have the gift of God inside of your life. Think about this. Have you ever wondered, and I'm talking to those of you that are saved, and the world, I mean, just everything is all in a mess and all in disarray. It's almost like the tornado is always out there. I've noticed as a little boy growing up and becoming a young man and adult, and you know, you hear all about all things, and yet, as my family tried to serve the Father and walk with the Father, there just seemed like there's always peace in our home. Why? Because there's always peace wherever Jesus is. You see, you're a child of the Most High God. Jesus was never ruffled. He was, listen, and you have Christ living on the inside of you. You have the gift of a divine person. When you get alone and when you get lonely and you have those difficult moments, you have Jesus. You say, I wish I could see him. And I'll be honest with you, there have been times in my life I wish I could have visibly seen him. There have been dark days in my life and difficult days in my life. And I said, Lord, you know I can't see you. Wish I could. I know I will someday. But I said, since I can't see you, I'm just going to hold on real tight to my Bible. Try that sometime. Just clutch your Bible. You're going through a difficult time, going through a hard time, and just remind yourself, Jesus, you're right with me. And you know what? There's nothing that's impossible. Listen, that's what Scripture declares. You know, and Paul made it very clear. It's a mystery. You know, there's no way you and I can understand it, but it's by faith. Second of all, listen, we have the gift of being right with Almighty God. The Bible makes it very clear. If you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you, you have the gift of being right with God. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 3. Being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible makes it very clear that you've been made right with God. You say, what's the big deal about that? There's a very big deal about that. Someday the Bible says that God is going to take care of this world and He's going to rain His wrath upon those who don't believe. It's amazing how many people don't believe that there's going to be a coming of Christ. It's amazing how many people don't even believe there's going to be a judgment. But the Bible says it. And it's a very big deal of being right with God, because the Bible says, listen to this verse. There's going to be a day when the wrath of Jesus is going to come. And Revelation 6:16, listen to what it says. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, what's taking place in this one verse? Well, it's a sobering picture of the coming of Christ and people literally screaming and begging and crying for mountains and rocks to fall on them. Why? Because they're getting ready to experience the wrath of Jesus Christ. They're getting ready to experience what it is to be wrong with God. They're getting ready to experience what it's going to be to stand in the judgment before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is no longer a baby anymore, but will come with His power and He will execute His justice. The Bible makes it very clear that there is the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb is the representation of the wrath of Jesus Christ. Do you ever think about Jesus Christ and His wrath? I want to say this to you, and I say it very carefully, delicately, and lovingly. If you choose to spurn the grace of God, the forgiveness through Jesus Christ, you will live to see the day when the wrath of Jesus will be vented on you personally. I would never hurt your feelings, but I'm going to always tell you the truth. The picture is those in that day that are alive. The coming of Christ is at hand. And they're screaming for the rocks. Can you imagine the feeling they'll have? They'd rather a rock crush their human body than to stand in the presence of the wrath of God. When you invited Jesus Christ into your life, you're not under that wrath. You're not under the wrath of God. You're not under the wrath of the Lamb. And the Bible declares it's going to be a most horrible day. It's going to be a horrible day, just like it was in Noah's day, when Noah and those that disbelieved, not Noah, but those that disbelieved, They were outside of the ark, and they found out what it was not to believe in the God of Noah. If you desire to remain outside and not place your faith in Jesus Christ, you will experience a day of the wrath of the Lamb. That's why it's a big deal to be right with God. Listen, everybody in Noah's time, with the exception of one family, only one family was rescued. You can go along with the crowd, but the Bible makes it very clear that going along with the crowd will lead you to death, destruction, and to eternal torment. It's a big deal to be right with God. And the Bible says when you invited Jesus Christ into your life, He turned away His judgment upon your life. It's not who you are. It's not who I am. But it's all because of who Jesus is. Think about it this way for a moment. You're going into the most exquisite store in the universe and on the earth, and you look at the price tags and you can't afford anything. Everything is in the thousands of dollars, but you have the wealthiest person to go with you, and they don't have a limit to their bank account. They take their checkbook with them, and you just look at some things and it's out of your reach. You can't afford it. And they ask you, would you like that right there? No problem. I'll pay for it. You see, you don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve heaven. We're going to be there for all of eternity. Ain't that great when you look outside and it's snowing a little bit? You think, what's the temperature like in heaven? Yes, there's real temperature in heaven. There's going to be real temperature on the new earth. You're going to experience it in your new body if you're a child of God. But that person goes with you, walks all through the store, and there are different things you'd like, but you know you can't afford them. And all he says is, I want you to know you can't afford them, but they're on me. Here's the reality of the gift of eternal life. Here's the gift that God gives. It's on him. You're right with God because of Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear. In that day, they'll cry, they'll scream, but they won't be right with God. You'll think, what was the big deal when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ and you walked down this aisle and gave Christ your life? You'll not know it until you see Jesus in that day and all of his power and all of his glory, and he looks at your life and he knows you're redeemed because he knows you by name. Well, see, not only are we passed from the wrath of God and we're right and we're all right with the God of the universe, but look at another gift he gives us. We have the gift of unconditional love that flows from God. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully in this one. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if there's one characteristic that characterized the nature of Jesus, is this. He is unconditionally loving. Amen? Aren't you glad he doesn't love you if the more you act better? In other words, he doesn't give you, all right, I'm going to love you when you make a commitment and you stay in church X number of Sundays. He's not going to love you more. He's not ever going to love you less. Now, watch carefully. Paul put it this way, God showed his love for me in that while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. Now, why in the world does God love you? You say, well, I guess I'm a pretty good person. Wrong. I like Dennis the Menace theology. Dennis the Menace was going to Miss Wilson's house, and she gave him some chocolate chip cookies, and his friend said, well, why is she giving us these cookies? We must have been pretty good. And Dennis said to his friend, no, silly. It's not that we're pretty good. Miss Wilson's pretty good. That's the whole reality. Now, listen. The Bible says God is love. Amen? Do you realize it is the very nature of God to love you? It is the very characteristic of God in heaven to love you. He can never love you 1 ounce more than he loves you right this second. It violates his nature. God is not conditionally loving, and that would be, you know, some days like this. When you understand the love of God, that takes a lot of the stress out of the Christian life. I used to make all sorts of promises to God. God, I promise I'll do this, and I promise I'll do that, and I promise I'll not do this. There's only one promise. There's only one hard thing to a promise. They're hard to keep. You make a New Year's resolution and you're thinking about some of them. And I tell you, you're getting ready to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to not eat this. And all of a sudden by January the 15th, well, you know, that lasted me longer than it did last year. It went 10 days. Last year it was only 5. We struggle. Now watch carefully though. Bible makes it very clear. Since Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you, listen, listen, listen. God is love. Amen. God lives on the inside of you. Amen. God empowers you to love anybody. One amen. Now listen very carefully. Who is there that you don't love? Now, don't listen with your head only. Listen with your head and your heart as you listen to the truth. Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. Now, we still have a human body, but the Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. That means that when you receive Jesus Christ, you have the ability to love everybody. You say, now, wait just a minute. I don't know about that. You've got to take it up with God, who is love. Now, does that mean you want to go on vacation with everybody? No. You know, some people you love, you know, you can pick your friends, you're stuck with your family, and you know those you don't want to go on vacation with. That's reality. But listen very carefully. The Bible makes it very clear. God shows his love toward us while we were yet what? Sinners. While you were sinning, living ungodly, walking ungodly, behaving ungodly, he showed you his love. Why? That's the nature of God. It's the nature of God to show you love. And here's the reality about every born-again believer that follows God. It is their nature to show love. Are you saying that I'm to show love to that person that I work with who's doing me mean and wrong and dirty and all that? No, it's not your nature to show love. It's the nature of Jesus to show love. There's a lot of difference. You can't show love. It's Jesus through you. One of the prayers I pray, and don't wake up in the middle of this or you'll hear me all wrong. One of the prayers I pray is this. Lord, I don't want to act loving today. I don't want to act nice today. I don't want to act peace-loving. I do not want to act caring. I do not want to act kind. Because if I do it, it is only an act. But Lord, you love through me. You ever find yourself loving some people you think, why am I loving you? Why do I really care about you? But I really do. I wouldn't hurt you. I wouldn't want you hurt. But here's the reality. When you have the gift of Jesus, you have his love in your life. It's not something you learn to get. Listen to me very carefully. You don't learn to get love. You don't learn love. It is given to you when you became a child of God. And if you're not passing that love on to somebody else, maybe they've hurt you and offended you, then that's between you and the Father, because it is the very nature of the Father to love. And that's what Paul found out. Think about this. People that he was imprisoned with, people that he was chained to, people that done him wrong, done him dirty. You know, he said, I've been abandoned by my countrymen. I've been abandoned by my family. I've been abandoned by the church. But you listen to Paul, and he's continually loving. Why? Because of this. The gift of Jesus in you is this. The gift to perpetually love anybody, and I want you to listen, and I'm not saying this by accident. So now, you said this in the message, is the ability to love everybody. Now, I'll give you a case in point. Did you love Saddam Hussein? Do you have the capability of loving the most wicked? Yes, you do. Does that mean that you want him to be raised to power? Listen, no. Here's the reality. I want you to listen. I want you to really listen. If Christ lives inside of you, who is there he does not love? Tell me one person Jesus Christ does not love. And if you're withholding love from anyone, then you've got to answer this question. Why? I'll tell you one of the reasons that I believe in going back and just, you know, thinking. A lot of times we were not shown and it was not taught. I can probably think of three or four people in the church as I was growing up that really showed unconditional love. But you see, here's the reality. Christ in you doesn't mean that you endorse them and their belief system. I don't endorse the belief system of anybody that's Muslim. I don't endorse the belief system of anybody that is against Scripture, but I love every one of them. I want them to go to heaven. I want them to be redeemed. You see, sometimes we struggle. Listen, and the wonder of God is this. He enables you to love. And one of the struggles we face is, and here's a real problem. Sometimes you'll hear a person say, well, I just hate and hate and hate and hate and hate. You can't be a child of God walking with God in hate. You take that up with the Father. There's no way you can be a child of God. Listen, since God showed His love for you while you were sinning, the greatest way you show your love for somebody else is when they're sinning against you and doing something. Don't you love it when somebody's hurting you and offending you and your holy sandpaper? Got any holy sandpaper at work? Don't answer that. Any holy sandpaper in your home? You know what the Lord is teaching me, Benny? I put you around people that hurt you because I want you to show them the grace that I've shown you. How many of you want to go to hell? Not a one of us want to go to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But let me ask you this question. How many of us deserve it? Not a one. And you see, it's the love of God. Lastly, real quick, we have the gift of forgiveness. The Bible says in Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Matthew realized that it was for forgiveness of sin that Christ came into the world. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, Christ Jesus came to rescue us, and He came to save us. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Bible says that Jesus came into the world to save. And to save you means He had to forgive you of your sin. Amen? There's no way you're going to heaven without Jesus forgiving you of your sin. He doesn't hold a single thing against a child of God because you've been covered by the blood of Christ. But listen very carefully. Do you realize you have the power to forgive anybody and everybody? Do you know and realize there is not a person who has hurt you, stabbed you in the back, or maybe multiple stab wounds in the back, but what God has given you and placed inside of you, if you're a child of God, the gift of forgiveness and the empowerment to forgive? You was hurt by a mom or a dad as a child. Maybe you was not only hurt once or twice, but you was hurt many times. Listen, you say, I wish I could forgive. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Either the Bible is true or it's not true. And if it's not true, then we're in real trouble. Paul made it very clear that you have been given the power to forgive. Inside of every born-again believer is the gift to forgive anybody and everybody of what they've done. Listen to what Paul says in one particular passage. In Ephesians 4:32, he says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now listen, Paul would not have told you to forgive if you didn't have the power to forgive. You have the power to forgive anybody and everybody of what they've done. Now, that gets a little bit close, and I'll tell you why. There are some people we don't want to forgive. They've done us so wrong, they've done us so dirty, they've done us so mean, they've been so vicious. But look at your sins against God and then see how mean and vicious that really is. The Bible says that God showed His love to us. The Bible says that God commendeth His love toward us. He enables us to forgive. And listen, there's no greater joy in life. And I want you to listen. I can say this out of personal testimony. There's no greater joy in all of your life than releasing somebody that's done you wrong and done you dirty. You say, I just can't do it. Yes, you can. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. You have been given the power to forgive. Did you know that? I'll be honest with you, I was probably 25, maybe 30 before I realized I'd been given the power by God to forgive. I'd try to learn some psychological techniques, but I didn't realize that when Jesus Christ lives on the inside of me, listen, who is there that Jesus Christ can't forgive? Nobody. Somebody comes into contact with your life, you can choose to forgive them, release them, and set them free. The key to perpetual joy, I want you to listen, the key to perpetual joy in life is consistently, ongoingly forgiving other people. Because we're human beings, we're flawed. And that's what Paul said. You know, whenever you forgive someone, it's over. And you live, get the joy of living this life in perpetual freedom and perpetual joy. But let me ask you this question. Do you realize these gifts? Do you really, really realize that these gifts are what the Father's given you in Jesus? Some of you probably saying, I wish I had that. The truth about it is you do have it if you're a child of God. You have the ability to love anybody and everybody. You have the ability to forgive anybody and everybody. You say, well, that's just not that easy. Listen, I sat beside a dear friend whose granddaughter was murdered in cold blood, shot in the back, and her body was thrown in the Carr's Fork Lake in Hazard. I was there when I heard him pray, Father, I forgive, and he named the murderer's name. With his head bowed, he said, I release him, I forgive him, and I set him free. He never owes me an apology. He never has to say I'm sorry. I forgive him because you've forgiven me. I'll never forget the look in his eye. He realized that day that he had the power to forgive anybody and everybody. You may enjoy a little bit of Christmas, but the truth is there's not real joy because there's pain in your heart. Somebody's hurt you and you just can't, you struggle with forgiving. Let me just say this, you have the power to forgive when you choose to release them and set them free. You're here this morning and you're not redeemed. You're not saved. Friend, you're locked out of these until you do. Why don't you come to him this morning? Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy. And Father, for all the gifts we have in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that you enable every one of us who are in Christ to love, to forgive. And Lord, it's not just wishful thinking, it's the truth of Holy God. Thank you. Thank you. And it's all because of Jesus. Father, draw that man, that woman to you this morning who needs to be saved. Those this morning who need to be a part of this fellowship, who need to join this fellowship today. Father, your will be done is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.